Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor plan. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to Five on the Floor. This is Alex Toledo, no Ethan Skolnick or Leif Sylvander tonight. With me, I've got Brady Hawk, and we're going to talk about the Heat's 119-104 win in Houston on the second night of a back-to-back. Kind of a redemption win after a pretty tough loss last night against the Sixers, one where, you know, the Heat could have solidified themselves a bit heading into that really important game on Sunday against Indiana. And especially with the, you know, the Sixers and their cake schedule left, kind of a discouraging loss there standings wise to come back and really take care of business, right? Because the Rockets are not a bad team. They're not a terrible team. They were until just recently in the race with the Warriors to kind of get into the play in there in the back end. And they've got a lot of guys there, even with some of their injuries with Şengün out and Amen Thompson and Jayshon Tate. They still have got some really athletic, fun pieces there. They've got some, you know, still a nice rotation of NBA players, a good coach. That wasn't going to be an easy guaranteed win by any means, especially, again, on the second night of a back-to-back, a team that's been a top 10 defense all year. And they delivered, man. To get to 119 is already a lot for the Heat, especially, again, good defensive team, back-to-back set. That's not an easy thing to do, and it feels like a lot of things went right, and there's a lot to get into because we got 10 guys who played tonight, and with that, we're going to head right into the Eric Rubenstein injury report.
And now it's time for the official Five on the Floor injury report, sponsored by our friend Eric Rubenstein, the personal injury attorney. Born and raised in Lauderdale, Florida, lives in Miami, went to St. Thomas. He's a South Florida guy and a huge Miami Heat fan, but the important thing is he can help you get your money that you deserve when something happens to you. So reach out to our guy, Eric Rubenstein. Again, ericrubenstein.com, or ask about me. I got you on Instagram. And now, the injury report.
So tonight, this is why we're playing this so early. The injury report is clean. Tyler Herro came back tonight, and now everybody that was gone for a while there, mostly like all their shooters, you know, starting with Jovic and Duncan and Tyler being out for so long, all of these guys are back now. You got your full 10-man rotation. And that's what Spo played tonight. And it was interesting to see him go through all those different lineups. I think we're going to save that talk for later on in the show. But we saw some different stuff tonight. And most importantly, headlining all of this, and we're not going to get into our next step, we're going to kind of combine them here together, is our Rock Esports Gamer of the
Night. And now on Five on the Floor, it's time for the Gamer of the Night, sponsored by Rock Esports Center, the place to eat, drink, and play all day. Host your next birthday party with them. Located at 15305 South Dixie Highway in Palmetto Bay, they've got a 5,500-square-foot state-of-the-art center equipped with all the high-end power. Play all-day passes available for just $25, but if you mention Five Reasons, it's just $20. So mention Five Reasons or 5RSN. You get to play all day for $20. And now, the Gamer of the Night.
Well, shout out Rock Esports Center. Shout out Eric Rubenstein. We're combining these segments because it's almost impossible not to. So because of the clean injury report, we're going to get into our Rock Esports Center Gamer of the Night. Brady, what are we talking about here?
We're talking about Tyler Herro. I mean, there's guys on this team. There was two guys in Jimmy and Bam that had more points in this game. And the funny thing is, I think we were talking about Jimmy in a certain light in this game, and it was like, oh, wait, he has 20? It was like mid-third quarter, and it's like he just kind of I thought it was important, actually, the way he did it, because he got to the line a ton, and I keep saying that that matters more than anything with the officiating shift. But enough about those guys. I feel like Tyler was the gamer of the night, not just because he returned, but it was the way he did it. Like, he came back, and he played his game, and for number one, he did not look rusty, and we kept talking about that on playback tonight watching this game. It was like he looked like he did pre-injury. He looked pretty smooth. He didn't look like he was being held back in any way. So he comes out the gate, and, you know, they say it's positionless basketball because it is, and they play certain styles, but he was kind of the guy that was running the one. He was kind of the guy that was playing the point guard, and he was the guy that was getting the ball off the rim, and he was pushing, and he had some really nice passes in transition where he had one early where he got it to Jimmy over the top. He had some other little lead passes he got to some of the other guys. Then it started kind of blending into the half court where it was he was just seeing a lot of attention. There was guys looking at him. They were kind of drawn to him, and he was playing in these lineups, obviously, now, because we should mention he came off the bench tonight, and it's kind of a different role. They're trying to work him into it. And he's playing next to some of these guys like Caleb Martin, like Jaime Jaquez, like Haywood Highsmith, who are guys that play well off ball and are cutting constantly. And we saw that immediately. It was like, okay, the attention's on Tyler. Dump off pass to Caleb on a cut. Here's this guy coming down, cutting from the corner. And it's like, that stuff matters. And the way he's hitting these guys constantly, I think he finished with 6 assists in this game. Another guy that I didn't even mention that's the recipient of these passes, Bam Adebayo. Like, as much as we talk about the Terry Rozier Bam kind of pick and roll that they were going to in his absence, the Tyler one, it's hard to explain it, but I would say that the easiest way I can explain the comparison between the two is there's more balance in the Hero Bam pick and roll than the Terry Bam pick and roll. And that's not a bad thing. I just think that there's a little bit more from the both of them that they can work through, because Tyler's just such an excellent pocket passer in that way. Like, you saw that immediately coming down an empty corner, baseline drives, dumps it off to Bam, and there's this mid-range shot. Like, that stuff's just second nature. That's because they've been playing together for so long. Like, that's not an indictment on Terry. That's not something that's because they've been great in that range, but it's more so the fact that they have those minutes logged. So the passing from him was great. But here's the main thing that I saw. Like, the drives, the attacks, the paint touches, the ability to draw contact. Like, there was multiple occasions to come out that gate. He was putting a shoulder into a chest of a defender, and he was going up. He had one where Jeff Green was guarding him on the wing. He drove past him, got right past him. I think it was Jabari Smith comes over for the help. It's kind of just – he was a lengthy defender, puts his arms up. Tyler goes right through him as well, and he kind of gets it over the top of him. He had a bunch of lefty finishes as well in this game, some really nice finishes. But I thought that stuff mattered, that the fact that he comes back in a game like this, kind of thrown into the fire a little bit, playing with a bunch of different lineups, because that's what they're forced to do now late in the season, try to find different combinations. Like you said, Alex, we'll probably talk about that a little bit later. But I just thought the way he did it, though it wasn't a ton of off-ball stuff, which I think they'll start to work him into a little bit more when he starts playing in those the Terry lineups or when Jimmy sees an uptick. But I thought the drives were important. The passing was important. And I know this isn't like a play of the game worthy type thing, because Alex, I know we were going through different possibilities, but the play with Terry where they kind of had a mix up in transition, ball comes off the rim, they get an offensive rebound, it's a kick out. Tyler swings it to Terry. Tyler goes to like screen for Terry, ghost screen, goes up to the top of the key. Almost both defenders fly with Tyler, and yep. Terry just steps up right into a wing pull up three. Like, that play matters. That play matters because we need to see the Terry Tyler stuff click. And it seems like it is pretty natural, you know, right out the gate.
And I love that you brought up that play. That was one of my favorite plays of the night as well. I thought it was emblematic of the way that Tyler was playing, because like you said, he was getting plenty of on-ball opportunities coming off the bench, which we've seen in the past. Like, it's kind of, it becomes his unit the way, in some of those units where it was him as the shot creator, when it was no Jimmy, no Terry, and him initiating the pick and rolls. But the way that he went about it, like you're saying, is what was so impressive to me. Like, there was a great balance in his game, in my opinion, right out the gate. And he did it in a way where it never looked like he was shying away, right? Like, you see that a lot of times with guys, especially when they're out for as long as guys like Tyler were, where, like, they're kind of hesitant. They're maybe just trying to stay out of the way a little bit, trying not to get in the way of things. And especially, like, when you're just, you know, when you can be concerned about trusting your body to do the things it was doing before. And I didn't really see that from him. He was moving, man. He was really moving out there. And that is what I really loved, because that's obviously stuff we were talking about when he was playing. And I think stuff that he was kind of improving on throughout the season was the movement off the ball. Because, again, plenty of on-ball stuff, and I like what he did on-ball, but off-ball movement and making quick decisions when you are on-ball, that's what I loved. He was making quick, good decisions out there. Like you said, the passing was fantastic, really stood off the page tonight. And even when you look at the box score, 6 assists, 0 turnovers, right? That's like he still got to his buckets, and most of them were inside the arc. Like you mentioned, he only shot 1 of 4 from three. So, like, he didn't get to his scoring because he made a bunch of threes, which we know he can do, and they kind of still need him to do. He was probably their second-best shooter before he went out. But, you know, like, the way that he was moving there, I never felt it got stagnant. You know, he got plenty of stuff in the mid-range. I think the way that he got to the rim and, you know, was creating contact and finishing there was really, really encouraging. And the fact that he can give you a little bit of everything. Right. And we know that it's always going to lean more towards the jump shots because that's, you know, what his game is more suited for. And we want to see him get up more threes. He was getting up a lot of threes before he was out. I think he only got up 4 or 5 tonight. You know, that's the one thing you could point at because he didn't have a great shooting game. But that's like the last thing you would worry about with him. Right. Like the shooting is so certified with Tyler Hero that, you know, seeing everything else at such a high level and his movement and the quick decisions again. Just really stood off the page to me. It's really encouraging that he's, you know, to come back against a pretty damn good defense and do this. I thought it was very nice to see. And in general, pretty good ball movement from the team tonight. And so with that, I'm going to go ahead and get to our aggressive insurance play of the night.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
And now it's time for the Insurance by Lynette Play of the Night, sponsored by InsuranceByLynette.com and A Aggressive Insurance Agency. You can reach out to our friend Lynette at 954-581-8800. That's 954-581-8800 or InsuranceByLynette.com. That's InsuranceByLynette.com with two N's and two T's. Your best play for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, condo insurance, life insurance, or a retirement program. Reach out to Lynette at InsuranceByLynette.com.
All right, Brady, what do we got here?
So I'm thinking you could go in a couple different directions. I know we were going through some different possibilities, but I'll say this because this play kind of sums up what I think we should talk about, and it's the defense. Because, I mean, the Rockets scored 104, but they held them under 100 if we're really counting the time that mattered. Like, they scored 4 in the last, like, 30 seconds in garbage time. And they rolled some punches. Like, there were some certain points in this game where they were really rolling with some punches. And there was the play where Dylan Brooks was rolling in transition. Bam's kind of staying with him and absolutely just takes the ball off the glass. Just absolutely glasses him, grabs the ball. End up in a foul, but we're not talking about that part. That part is not the play of the game. The play of the game is the Bam part of it. And the reason it matters is because, look, Dylan Brooks is the guy that was the guy that was forcing them to roll with the punches. He was the guy that there was points in that game where it's like, okay, yeah, they're hitting shots. Yeah, Dylan Brooks is hitting these kind of spot up threes. He's hitting some tough pull ups. It's like, Miami's okay with that. Like, that's not the worst thing in the world, because that we know it's going to level out. You're not going to kind of get that type of performance. If you do, then you got to just throw your hands up and say, well, that's not going to happen again. We did what we did. But the game plan was pretty much that they were going to limit certain things. They were going to limit the paint like they usually do. And Dylan Brooks had a really good start to the game. I know he finished with, I think it was 18 points, and it ended up being 5 of 13 shooting. But I just thought that play kind of summarized things, because the defense did have a little bit of a turnaround in the second half. I thought they defended a lot better. There was a, I can't remember, I think it was the end of the second quarter. I could be wrong. It was second or third quarter where Jabari Smith had back-to-back corner threes in the same exact spot where he just kind of got wide open ones. And it was basically because there was an overreaction to the action in the middle of the floor where they're always going to help from that area. They're going to help off that corner. Not the guy you probably want to help off of in that stage, but it's just the way that Miami defends. But either way, I thought they kind of rolled off that part of the game. There were points in this game where even later in toward the fourth quarter time where Jalen Green back-to-back huge threes above the arc, and that's against the zone where I know Alex wasn't a fan of that shot, those shots specifically. But Miami stayed in the zone in respect to them, because I kind of felt like at the time I was like, okay, it's time to pull out the zone now. Like, he's kind of just shooting over the top of it. They're not really contesting it, and they stayed with it. They just played in the zone a little bit higher. They played, you know, in that range, and they were able to escape. The other thing I'll say, Alex, real quickly, because I know it's getting away from me, because I know we wanted to roll into the Bam topic, but I will say it's a good thing Jimmy got the fourth quarter off. I mean, it's that feels pretty important in a time of end of the season, needing him to play at a higher level before the playoffs, and the fact that this is a big game Sunday, not the worst thing in the world that he got that fourth quarter off. But yeah, I mean, I'll throw it back to you, because what did you think of Bam's game? Because he was pretty efficient. Like, he was in probably gamer of the night range, but just because Tyler kind of had the pop in the return game.
For sure, Tyler was deserving, and I thought Bam was as well, like you're saying. I thought Bam was pretty all around, man. I thought he was pretty efficient, and when just like looking at the box score stuff, you know, 7 of 12, 18 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal and a block, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. Like, he's kind of giving you everything there. Only one turnover with the 6 assists. Pretty damn good game. And not to mention, like you're talking about there, the defense, which I'm glad you brought up, because it's a huge part of who they've been, obviously, forever now. Since Pat Riley has been here, it's like, if you don't have that defensive identity down, they're probably not going to be successful, is kind of what we tend to see with the Heat throughout the years. And the fact that they've gotten, I think, a lot of that stuff together in the second half of the season, like, they've been, a top five defense since, you know, I mean, in this second half of the season. And tonight, you saw them, you saw the Rockets, the Heat hold the Rockets to 52% at the rim, 14 of 27, at least within 4 feet of the rim, 6 of 19 in the mid-range, which is 31.6%, and 23% in the short mid-range. And then not to mention the Heat, who are always going to force you in, are all forced to take open shots with the way that they love to pack the paint. You know, they took 44 threes. The Rockets are a team who likes to attack first, so they kind of took them out of their game. Like you said, the zone has just been really reliable for them, whether it's with or without the press, kind of in the, you know, in the full court. There's different variations, and I love the way that Spo is kind of figuring out the balance of when to go with it. And I think there's something there with that. I think that is something that we're going to continue to see in the playoffs, where I don't think it's going to be it's black and white. I think Spo has gotten good about when to do it, but like, you really held them to low shooting from just about every spot on the floor, other than the corner three, the only place that the Rockets shot it well tonight, 4 of 7. Every other spot on the floor, including from three overall, where they shot under 32%. So fantastic from them. And you held them to a 21st percentile offensive rating in the half court and overall. So the Rockets are not necessarily known for the offense in the first place, but still, like, you did your job on the second night of a back-to-back on the defensive end and did it at a really high level. while also having a pretty good offensive night. Like, the Heat finished with a 119 offensive rating overall, 102 in the half court. Both of those are 62nd percentile. So above average, right? And like we said, just looking at like eye test stuff, I think you saw a lot of good things with the offense tonight. I thought there was a lot of great ball movement, you know, with Jovic. I thought Duncan, you know, didn't have like an amazing night, but, you know, starting to get back into the groove a little bit there ever since he's gotten back. I think, you know, you're probably starting to see the beginning of him getting back to normal, to somewhat of a normal for him. But what was I going to say? Oh, with Tyler, man, the ball movement was fantastic. I thought the team's ball movement overall was fantastic. And something I wanted to get into with you was the different starts, the different lineups and the amount of different lineups we got to see out there. With Tyler coming back and with everybody back in the mix now with 10 guys, he played a 10-man rotation, which is a little bit weird for Spo, but I'm glad he's doing it. I think the team is to do that. And the way they did it was very weird. We saw a lot of different units. We saw even Bam and K-Love units, which we haven't seen too much of this season. We saw units where Tyler and Terry were together. We saw units where it was Tyler and Duncan. Tyler and Duncan with Bam, I think. That was when he first joined the game. Like, we saw a lot of different variations of lineups there, including Terry and Bam back together. You got into it earlier with their two-man game, and we've seen that so much in the past. And I think what Spo ultimately was playing around with was kind of like the non-Jimmy and K-Love led units, because I feel like those have kind of been the most reliable ones all season. And I think outside of that, he was playing with a lot of different variations. It was kind of all over the place, and I'm glad to see it, because I do think he kind of, like, this is the time to do it. It's kind of now or never. And just wanted to get your thoughts about it and just kind of the way that he went about tonight with those lineups, because it was very unusual for Spo.
Yeah, so I've been going back and forth on it. And when I say I've been going back and forth on it, I mean Terry, Tyler, Jimmy, Bam. They're going to stagger. There's going to be at times when there's three of those guys. There's going to be at times when there's four of those guys. There's going to be different variations. But for the most part, they're going to try to do two and two. That's just always how you're going to split it up. So it comes down to which guy plays better off which guy. And that's why I was kind of talking about the Tyler and Bam difference with the Terry and Bam difference. And I was of the thought for the last few weeks, and I still might be there, that Terry and Bam and Tyler and Jimmy is the way that they're going to lean. That's just the way that I think they're eventually going to go. And it's not to say that it's because of a certain pick and roll dynamic. I think it's more so the way that they're running their lineups recently. It trends in that direction for me. Like, the way that they're doing this thing where they're running four wings and Love almost makes me feel like, let's say in those lineups, instead of Jaime, it's just Tyler, where it's just the extra shooter, the extra scorer, and they still play at that same type of offense they want to play in that lineup. And there are a lot of times they're zone anyways, where Tyler can play the bottom box and they still have Haywood and everybody up there just kind of wrecking havoc, that it just makes the most sense. That's kind of the way I think they're going to go. And look, yeah, maybe Tyler and Bam have more chemistry just because they played longer, and Tyler kind of feeds that pocket pass, the ability to hit the jumper. But like, Terry and Bam have looked good. They've had a good connection. And I think if you're going to run a certain lineup, Terry, Duncan, Bam has pretty good synergy. Like, they just have pretty good synergy, and they have a pretty good dynamic to start games with the way that they've been doing things, because they bring Jimmy out early. Like, it's Jimmy exits, it's Terry, Duncan, Jovic, Bam, and then, you know, whoever enters for Jimmy there, it's usually Caleb or somebody like that. And then Jimmy comes back in with Kevin. So I think it becomes a certain point where they're going to have to make that decision. And that's why, to your point, it's the reason why we saw so many combinations in this game. It's because you have to figure that stuff out. And that's why it's such a shame. That's like, this is why we wanted them to be healthy. It's not just because, oh, we want to be out of the play-in, we want a better record or this and that. Like, no. Yeah, I guess you do want that too. But you want the ability to find different combinations that work. You want to be able to figure out something so that, you know, game one of the play-in, game one of the playoffs, you're not throwing it all out there and trying to figure out that time. So do I think they're going to run a 10-man rotation moving forward in a playoff setting? No, I don't. I think it's going to get to nine. And as much as I hate to say it, I do think it's becoming more evident that it's becoming Haywood or Jaime. That's kind of the way that we're trending, that it's going to be a one or the other kind of thing, because you're not taking out Caleb. obviously not taking out Tyler, Duncan, Terry, and you're not taking out Kevin Love. Because, by the way, Alex, the fact that we didn't mention Kevin Love yet is probably bad on our part. Because, man, does that guy help them in so many ways. Man, does he save them. And, man, does it make it more apparent on the final, you know, the recent stretch where they didn't have him, how much they missed him. As good as, you know, we thought Thomas Bryant played pretty decent across that time. But, like, Kevin Love comes back, you're like, man, they really lean on this guy. The offensive rebounds, the activity, the bruises, averaging three bruises every game, the spacing he provides in these lineups that we're talking about, like, that stuff matters. So I'll ask you one question so we can finish it up here, because I know, and I'm almost not wanting to ask it because I feel like this might be a podcast tomorrow when Ethan pops back into the picture, but I'm going to throw you a tough question so I could be, you know, throw the Ethan question. On Sunday, when they play the Pacers, who's the starting shooting guard?
That's not tough. It should still be Duncan. I think the way that it's gone has just made it so much easier for Spo to be like, just roll with what you have. So right now, it just makes too much sense. Like, I wouldn't be mad if Tyler went back to the starting lineup. Like, I know it's a really polarizing topic. And I wouldn't
for no reason. It should not be a polarizing topic, but it's everything is a polarizing topic with him.
It's at worst debatable, right? Because, you know, Duncan and Tyler, it's definitely got a lot of merit to it. Like, they both bring different things to the game. Duncan has obviously been great as a starter. And Tyler, to give him credit, he's been pretty good as a starter too. People like to act like it's only Duncan that's been good as a starter. The problem is, like, you weren't getting a lot of that same impact from Duncan coming off the bench. And we've talked about it before. It has more to do with the units he's in and making sure, you know, he's getting that two-man game in with Bam more often than not, playing with Jimmy as well. And just in general, like, him being involved in the offense is essential. So I think you can replicate that whether he's coming off the bench or not, in theory, but not if you're not going to put him in the right lineups. Regardless, you need Duncan to get back into his groove. So I think keeping him in the starting lineup is a better way to do that. Sending him to the bench now, I don't know that that's the solution. I think especially with how Tyler played tonight, like, I would probably just do with, like, exactly what they did tonight. And I think
– I agree.
I'm with you that I would expect Spo to probably go with 10 in the playoffs. But if he were to go with 10, what we saw tonight is a pretty good, I think, representative sample of how it would look like when you just look at minute distribution. Like, Jovic played 15 and a half. KO played under 15. Hakez played 19. That probably goes down, even if it's a smaller number. Like, I think that's what it would be, right? Like, is he kind of like you're prioritizing who you're playing a little bit more, but and guys are getting shorter stints than they were in the regular season. And I think he can do it if he really wants to. And I do agree with you that it's probably going to come down to Hayward or Jaime. And I think Jaime is right now probably the odd man out if it does go to 9, because, you know, guys are sagging off of him. And I think it's affecting him because he is not getting those post touches. And I think if you're not giving him those post touches, you're kind of turning him into a spacer more often than not. And that's just not where he's best utilized. I'm not saying he doesn't bring you anything else, because he finds ways to score, even though he's not a spot up shooter. Like tonight, he gave you 12 points, right? He in 19 minutes gave you 12 points, 2 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals, 5 of 7, and went 2 of 3 from 3. By the way, so let me give him some credit there. But when he's not hitting the 3, I feel like some of his moves have been scouted. We've talked about this plenty, and you know, it's a little tough, man, because if you're going to be playing lineups with multiple wings out there who they might be sagging off on, like Haywood, right, I think it's going to be tough to play 10. I think Jaime deserves a shot. Like, I would be kind of disappointed if the playoffs started today, right, and Jaime was just out of it after the season he had.
Out of the 9, he'll get spot minutes. I do believe that.
For sure. I think so, too.
And it's matchup-based, right? Like, I feel like there are certain matchups, and we could probably – that's probably a podcast where we could probably pinpoint certain matchups to probably fit certain guys. But, like, there definitely are matchups that fit both. And, look, there was a few weeks ago – I don't know – I can't remember if you were on the same page as me, but I felt like Jaime would close some playoff games. Like, that was point that we were at with him, that this is kind of an up-and-down thing. But I think the thing that hurts him is the fact that everybody being healthy – and coming back and needing the ball in their hands, it's like
if he's not getting the post touches and the things that you're talking about and having the ball in his hands, then it's not going to happen now. And it's not going to happen in a playoff setting. It's all this stuff that, you know, you just mentioned, the other plays, the offensive rebounding, the cutting, and the spot of shooting. And in the spot of shooting is the thing that's kind of hurting right now, because he's put in a role that he doesn't really want to be in. And it was one of those things that, you know, we remember watching him at training camp where he was like, remember he was just drilling the spot of shooting with their shooting coach. And it was like, okay, this is the thing that they're going to work on. This is the thing that's long-term that's eventually going to matter. And it's just happened quicker because they have so many on-ball threats.
And honestly, like, if you remember, he started the season shooting really well from three. On top of everything else he was doing, and that kind of really tailed off there. And I think some of it, you know, in this recent stretch where they were missing all their shooters, I think that just made it harder for everybody that was playing. Everybody was playing in just way more crowded spaces. And I think tonight, like you saw, like all the ball movement stuff we've been talking about, I think that's a product of them having so much of their shooters back. And it's like, oh, wait, you have guys that people are scared of, you know, shooting open threes on the floor again, and you could kind of just play off of that. And the ball was really popping out there, man. And I think, like, if you can get that consistently, I would feel much better about this team. And also, that relates to Jaime as well, because I think he thrives even when he's not getting those post touches, which I still think they should give him some, right? I know it's way easier said than done with the amount of, you know, metaphorical mouths they have to feed with the ball there on their team as it stands. But really, man, like, when the ball is moving like that, I think it makes things easier for Jaime too. And I thought he looked pretty good tonight as a result. Like, he was, you know, he wasn't getting those post touches, but he was seeing the ball and making quick decisions with it. And I think, you know, it was nice to see. It's going to be really interesting to see how they manage all of this going forward, because, like, we talked about the minutes distribution, the shot distribution was kind of interesting to see tonight as well with everybody back. Shout out to Ray Ray for pointing this out on Twitter. But, like, you know, it finished with Jimmy, 14 field goal attempts, 12 for Bam, 10 for Terry, 14 for Tyler, 9 for Caleb. I don't know if that matches up with the theme here, but, you know, like, it was pretty balanced for, like, their best players took most of the shots. But then you got 7 from Jovic, 6 from Duncan, 5 from Caleb, 5 from Haywood, 7 from Jaime. And, like I already said, 9 from Caleb. Like, you got a little bit out of everyone. And I thought there was a really nice balance tonight. And I thought that was pleasantly surprising for a team that is just now getting Tyler back into the mix. Like, you think that'd be a really tough cog to just throw back in there and for things to look so balanced and so poised. Like, I thought I was absolutely expecting more stagnancy on the offensive end, not because of Tyler. I'm not talking down on him, but just in general, like, second night of a back-to-back, good defense. You're introducing this piece back in. I thought there was going to be more struggles than there were. But, you know, we've done a lot of talking here, specifically me. And we're going to wrap it up here because there's a lot more basketball to be played. And we're probably going to do a podcast before the next Heat basketball game is played. So we're going to save some of that. But thank you guys for joining us. Before we close up, do want to mention our Discord server, the Off the Floor Discord server. The link is going to be in the description for this podcast, whether you see it on the podcast feed or on YouTube. It's going to be there. You can also find it, I believe, pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Sports Twitter account. Check us out there. A lot of channels, a lot of conversation going on, especially a lot of Heat conversation. And honestly, that is where most of our coverage is going to now, especially on game days. Like, everything is going there. And then Twitter just kind of gets some of the scrape. You know, Brady is throwing his insights on there. I throw my stats on there. Leif gives you his game notes. He gives you the guys that they're here scouting on the college end. And, you know, in the offseason, you already know Leif and Ethan are going to give you everything sourced. It's going to go straight to Discord. So check that out. We're going to be ramping up now for the playoffs. And then, speaking of ramping up for the playoffs, also check us out on Playback, where we watch the games, every game, live with the fans, interact with everybody. It's really casual. It's a great time. I had another great time tonight with our guy Matt, with Major Passes, with Brady, and just watching it with everybody there. And, man, just getting excited thinking about the playoff run and for those road games that we're going to be doing on Playback, because that was a really fun time witnessing that Cinderella run with everybody last year. So check us out on playback.tv/5RSN, or you can download the Playback app and catch it with us on there. We also are doing off-day pods. well, not off day pods, off day live shows on Playback. We also have, you know, our people from the Dolphins and covering the Dolphins doing stuff on Playback. So check it out. And I'm done here now. Brady, thank you for joining me. And thank you for everybody. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. We're going to have more coverage with you. We're going to be covering Heat Pacers on Sunday. So look forward to that. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.